33 minutes after the hour. This is Seinfeld music. I don't want to ever hear Seinfeld music on the Curtis Sliwa show again. I don't want to hear Bruce Springsteen music. He didn't sing Born in the USA as part of the four songs that he and the E Street Band performed yesterday during the halftime show of the Super Bowl. So banned, Seinfeld banned, although the very subject of Seinfeld comes up because of the way people date now. And the question is, are people dating in a Seinfeld generation way? Let's go to Dr. Paulette Kaufman-Sherman, a shrink and dating coach and author of the book Dating from the Inside Out. Thanks for joining us, Doc.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. My pleasure.
Okay, now, it may not be your pleasure after I'm finished with you, Doc.
That's fine, good.
Okay, but are we dating vis-a-vis the Seinfeld generation?
Well, the reason that I wrote that when I woke up early that morning was, my book is a lot, Dating from the Inside Out, is a lot about finding a meaningful partnership that reflects who you really are. And I just started thinking about all of the recent news lately, and it started out, I guess, a week before about the demise of dating in the New York Times and how people were just hooking up and picking pleasure over meaning. Then we had the recent thing about the DABA girls, who are these women who are dating or married to bankers, and some people took the take that they were complaining about not going on vacation and not going out to nice dinners, so they were going to break off their relationships. So materialism over meaning there. I could go on, Sex in the City, sex versus meaningful relationships. And when you think about Seinfeld, the show Seinfeld, you think about, well, what does Elaine care about? And, what does George care about? He cares about Jerry. Jerry cares about being funny, and, Kramer has a new invention every week. And we love them despite this, but they are all intent on being very funny all the time, almost to avoid being serious and kind of really being known. So I feel like, and underneath, I think there is that desire. They do have relationships, and I think everybody does want that intimacy and that belonging. But, there is, if we think of our media being a reflection of our mass consciousness, there's definitely a pattern, especially of late, where we see people having a fear of intimacy and choosing surface things in dating and relationships over really trying to figure out who they are and finding a partner who's a reflection of that.
All right, well, you mentioned Seinfeld. Let's go to the audio tape to a time where Kramer and Jerry were getting it on over a telephone number.
Come on, Kramer. Seriously, give me your number.
I don't have it. I threw it out.
You're lying. You got it. I want the number.
I told you. I threw it out. Give it to me.
Look, you told me not to give it to you. You made me promise.
Well, I changed my mind. I want that number.
No, you said no matter what you do or say, I'm not to give you the number.
I was lying. Give it to me.
No, you told me not to.
I want the number.
You're a jack. Yeah. Look at you. Look at what you sunk to. Look at what you've become. Look in the mirror. Because you need help, Jerry. You need help. Because I can't stand by and do it anymore. It's turning my stomach. I can't stand around here watching you destroy yourself. It's eating me up inside.
Man, close the door one more time. It'll break it down to its foundation. But, Doc, once he has the number, right, once he has the number and he makes the call, what's different about dating now than maybe 20, 30 years ago, if, in fact, a woman answers that call?
What is different? Well, it depends if you're asking the man or the woman. I don't want to, be sexist about that. But I feel like a lot of times women will say he'll call and then he won't call back and you have no idea what will happen. It could happen the other way, too. Whether people are just looking for momentary pleasure and fun. With Jerry, and I haven't watched, I say this in my column, I haven't watched a whole lot of Seinfeld, but I know that there were times that he would go out, he would call, he would meet someone great, and then he just couldn't date her again because of the way she picked her teeth or she wore the same dress twice or something, right? So I think a lot of times when we're afraid of intimacy, we find silly things to make us not really get to know the person or to be known.
Yeah, but what about what I see increasingly whenever I go to a joint, nightclub, bar, restaurant, the herding effect? It's almost like years ago when you would go to a dance, all the guys would herd together, and they wouldn't get up and dance with the girls. The girls had to end up dancing with one another. That's why I did so well, because I like dancing. And, you know, let's face it, you could have been a schlub. You could have been an ugly duckling. You're going to do well because you're up there, you're dancing, you're entertaining, you're involved in the dance. Whereas the other guys, they were all clumped together as if they had been emulsified to one another. But I noticed that when you go to these locations, a lot of the young people, they herd together and they don't break out. It's not like you see a boy and a girl in one corner there, a boy and a girl here. It's like there's like 10 guys and 12 girls, and they're all like communing with one another, but they don't seem to break up. Why do they like being in groups?
I just think people are afraid, you know, they're afraid of rejection. It's really hard to, like, wander over to somebody, whether maybe men are more used to it, but even a woman, and be really friendly, and then someone's just nasty to you. And, you know, so I think what you're talking about in the very beginning is that people are afraid, and there's safety in numbers. They don't want to be rejected. But, you know, you take someone like Seinfeld, right? He's pretty good looking. He's funny. He's not a shy guy on the show. And yet, even though he has no problem asking people out, it doesn't really go much further because he has deeper issues and he's not willing to really look at them.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners out there. They're all over the country. Some of them are listening on FM stations, AM stations. Some of them are drinking Geritol and taking Bengay baths. But they're back out into the dating cycle, and some of them are young huckleberries with high levels of testosterone and estrogen crashing through their craniums. Our number is 1-877-CURTIS, the number 8. That's 1-877-287-8478. 1-877-287-8478. Now, years ago, and again, I hate to keep making references to this, you used to have eyes for a particular person that you would like to ask you out or you'd like to be with, depending on whether you were the guy or the gal and what traditions and mores were at the time. Now, it oftentimes seems, and maybe I'm wrong, Doctor, the venue is more important of where you go than the person you're going with sometimes.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I think I use an example in my article, my column, that there was a man saying that, you know, he was from an older generation a little bit too, and he said, you know, it used to be that you would go out, even if it was to coffee, to really get to meet somebody. And now online, you know, people will say, well, where are you taking me? And if the place isn't up to snuff and they don't really want to go there, then they don't even want to go out. It's not just because they're materialistic, but he was saying he feels it's part of the whole Sex and the City thing, that being single is a lifestyle, and they're not necessarily dating to meet somebody and settle down. They want to just stay single and have fun. Not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, they're dating for a completely different reason.
Okay, but I always assumed that when I would date a girl, don't get too serious because she may take it the wrong way and think that this is going to be a permanent relationship. Always felt that the DNA with a woman was programmed that way. Increasingly, looking at it from afar, it seems that a lot of women are not looking for long-term relationships, are just looking to hang out, have fun, and meet as many different people as they can without having that relationship, which I think is frustrating to some guys because they're expecting that initial reaction, and then when they don't get it, it's like dealing with another guy. They're thrown off.
Absolutely. It's changed a bit. You know, I see it from a different vantage point because I specialize in relationships. So a lot of times my students and people coming to me, they really do want a relationship and they're frustrated that they're not seeing that out there. And sometimes it's them and sometimes it's other things. But yeah, I think that is happening more. And I think the character of Samantha in Sex of the City sort of epitomizes that it's no longer just men. That sometimes women, just they have their careers, they have their lives, they have it together. They don't need necessarily a partner to get married as much. Maybe not even to have a baby sometimes these days. So, and also there's other issues like of being afraid of intimacy and rejection and things like this. So it maybe has become more of a level playing field that way.
Now, I understand that, but when a woman goes out and has 14 kids, as we're going to be talking about in the next hour, the octuplets, 8 plus 6, and does it all on her own, I don't think that's what you're referring to, right?
No, I wasn't referring to that necessarily. And, you know, I wasn't making a judgment, good or bad, about it either. I'm just saying that it's just something that's a phenomenon, a recent phenomenon, right, that's happening now. And I think it's because women have become more independent. I mean, it could be a variety of things. But, Doc,
what about the spiritual connection? What about what couples have said? I'm looking for that spiritual connection. I haven't heard you mention that once.
Well, it's interesting that I didn't mention that because that's what my book is really about. You know, when I wrote Dating from the Inside Out, like I said, it's really about how relationships are a spiritual partnership. First, we know ourselves and our values and what's important to us, and then we try to find somebody who's somewhat aligned with that and also learn from that other person. And I guess when I wrote the column, it was about my frustration that maybe people aren't looking for that anymore.
Let's find out what Willie at WTKK 96.9 Boston's Talk Evolution is looking for. Welcome to the Curtis Lewis Show, Will.
Hey, what's happening, Kurt?
I'm trying to follow the professor here. It's a little disconcerting for me because I'm a little old school when it comes to this.
Huh. Well, basically, you know, my whole synopsis of the going out, the dating thing, when you go out to clubs, like I said before, I don't have a problem with approaching a woman, and I'm very respectful when I do it. But I find that when I do approach women, they're like uptight, they're like real, you know, like tense, and they seem to be on this high horse type thing. And they do look for certain things like money and status and things of that nature. And I believe that this is true because this has followed suit with almost every venue I've ever gone to, no matter if it's a hole in the wall or if it's a high class place. And what's surprising to me is outside of that, they'll say to their friends, oh yeah, I'm looking for this, I'm looking for love, I'm looking for a nice guy. But then when they get to these places and someone approaches them, they'll look you up and down in 2 seconds. They'll go, nope, not for me, not for me, not for me. You know, and I find that all the time. And that I think is one of the reasons why I think a lot of guys are discouraged from approaching women.
Willie, I got to tell you, without knowing you, you got to knock off coming with a fistful of condoms in your hand to start off your conversation at the bar. You know, allow that urge to merge to work itself through a little bit when you're salivating because you look at this honey or this cutie and say, wow, I finally scored the big one. Of course she's going to be intimidated and frightened and scared. Did you see, Doc? Did I handle that one well?
Totally. Like, I had this response for him, and now it's, like, out of my brain. But what I was going to say is I really want to thank you for sharing that because a lot of times women come to my classes more than men, although men do come there now. And, you know, they're always saying it's one-sided, right? Oh, we want a relationship. Men don't. You know, we're always looking. They don't seem interested. They're never, you know, there to meet anyone. Much more than one night. And I think it's really great to hear the other side that, you know, I always say, because, you know, I know that men feel this way and they'll stand up and say that, you know, it's not easy to cross the room and approach a woman and then she's acting all high and mighty and won't give you any signs that she's saying she wants to get married, like you said, and then she's so picky, you know, and sort of judgmental from the beginning, and it doesn't set a good vibe, and it doesn't allow you to get to know someone.
Oh, yeah, it's like, Doc, you know, the Chanel No. 5's got to go, heavy mascara, the mole hair, you know, it's like it's styrofoam up there. Come on. I guess that's not what we're talking about. Let's go to...
No, that's not my point, but,
okay.
You know,
let's
but
go.
I really...
Let's go to Tommy, you know, calling from New Jersey on WABC. Welcome to the Curtis Lewis Show, Tom.
Hey, how's it going, Curtis? I'm a first-time caller. I like to listen to your show when I'm on my way home at night from work.
Well, thank you. You could break it on down with the shrink here, Dr. Paulette.
Well, basically what I want to say is, you know, from my own experience, I'm 50 right now, and my wife is 10 years younger than me, and we just had a baby a year ago.
So
it's our second child, and our first child is 5. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, lately have been starting their families later, you know, and having their careers early in life and having fun and doing all the things they wanted to do, and then they meet when they're, you know, older. When our parents, in the 50s, our parents got married at 21 and started having kids,
mm-hmm.
You know. Today, it's different, and, you know, especially with the economy and stuff like that, it's cheaper to live single for a while and not have kids and then as you get older, you know, you want to meet somebody, you want to have a family. And, you know, I'm proof that it's never too late, you know, to have kids. You know what I mean? Yeah, I love my kids and I love to go home and play with them and I still have the energy to do that. You know, I spend my days with my children and I work in the afternoons till night. I'm head home now. But I mean, you know, this is a new trend that's been happening the past, you know, I guess since like the 80s, 90s, a lot more people are having kids in older ages.
Well, let me get this straight. And, Doctor, I'm going to cut in on your action here.
Okay.
Tell me, your wife's 10 years younger than you. You already have one child who's five, brand new baby. You better stay physically fit and in top shape because you're not going to be able to keep up with your wife, with your five-year-old, and now your brand newborn. Man, you're going to have to be like Ricochet Rabbit.
Well, you know, I'm a drummer, so, you know, I'm a musician. And back in the 80s, I was always on the road, you know, traveling around the country and in the 90s and stuff like that. And now I'm pretty much doing, you know, studio work drum instruction.
Yeah, but so. You know something, that Tommy Lee lifestyle that you led early on in your life is going to come back to haunt you, Tommy. I know all you drummers. You're always the same kind of guys, wild and crazy, out of control. And now all of a sudden, you've matured. But anyway, on that note, Doc, got to let you go.
I want to say something nice to him. He's shared. Can I say something?
No. He already had his spiel. I was just pointing out that he didn't tell us the other side of his life. He had it in his mind that he was Tommy Lee for a while. How he's going to recover from that, I don't know. I'll bet you he's got tats all over his arms. I would bet you that. Dr. Paulette Kaufman Sherman, the shrink and dating coach. Oh, up next, we've got so much to get into. 1-877 Curtis, the number 8. That's 1-877-287-8478. New policy of the Barack Obama administration. Don't ask, don't tell. And it has nothing to do with gays and lesbians serving in the U.S. military forces. We'll get into that and so much more on this is the Curtis Sliwa Show.